Need so many illustrations, hey John. I was just praying that it was going to work, and that was amazing. Eh? So even if you get nothing out of the sermon today, at least you'll remember to not use, stay away from acetone. We've read Matthew chapter 7 twice already this morning. I want to read for you. From Luke chapter 6, it's the same story about the wise builder and the foolish builder. But I would still encourage you to open Matthew chapter 7, because I am going to refer back to it a lot this morning. Verse 21 to 29. And while you page there, Luke 6, verse 46 and verse 49. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? As for everyone who comes to me and hears my words and puts them into practice, I will show you what they are like. They are like a man building a house who dug down deep and laid foundation on the rock. When the flood came, the torrent struck that house, but it could not shake it because it was well built. But the one who hears my words and does not put them into practice is like a man who builds a house on the ground without a foundation. The moment the torrent struck that house, it collapsed, and its destruction was complete. Matthew 7:21. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father. Friends, I know that for many of us, when we read that verse, it's quite alarming. It kind of shakes you up a little. Only alarming when we read it out of context. Whenever we read scripture, we have to read it in context. When we pull verses out and we read one verse here and one verse there, it can be so dangerous and detrimental to our spiritual walk. Today's text is part of the Sermon on the Mount. It's a very long sermon. So we're going to be here until about 3 o'clock this afternoon. Context is everything. The main purpose behind the Sermon on the Mount is that it teaches us what it means to live a Christian life. It shows us exactly how to live in relationship with God and with others. And so when we read verse 21, we've got to read it in that context. And when Jesus concludes the Sermon on the Mount with three stories, the tree, the false prophet, and then the house, remember the big picture, the bigger context, and we're going to unpack that together. The one thing I want us to get to today is how do we build our lives concretely? In the first part of the Sermon on the Mount, in the beginning of chapter 5, it's called Beatitudes and the Woes. It shows us that the Christian life is based on a very different set of values. Tim Keller states that one of the main points of the New Testament is we're never going to understand Christianity unless we see it that it is something utterly different from religion. We will never understand Christianity unless we see it as something utterly different from religion. Most of us go, what? Isn't Christianity a religion? No, it's not. And when you go through the Sermon on the Mount carefully, we'll pick up very quickly that Jesus constantly puts religion up against relationship. Religion, where we live based on a set of rules and we try and do everything to get ourselves into heaven, he puts that up against a relationship with him and with God. Right throughout the Sermon on the Mount, and especially in this concluding portion, Jesus says to us, choose which one you are going to live. Religion or relationship. There are two paths. One leads to life, the other leads to destruction. There are two trees. One gives life and food to your soul. The other one is utter poison. There are two houses. The one stands strong and the other disappears. Swept away completely. The one collapses on its residence. Jesus puts these two ways in front of us throughout his sermon on the mount. He says, not this way, but this way. Not that tree, this tree. Not that house, this house. And here I must admit that most of the time when I've read through this parable and even heard it preached, people often put it as it is those who disobey God and those who obey God. Those who are good and those who are bad. But when we look at this very carefully, we'll notice that Jesus doesn't do that. When we go through the sermon, we don't see Jesus saying, here are the people who obey God's law and here are those who don't. We don't see Jesus saying that here are people who pray and here are those who don't. When we pick up what Jesus is saying, though, he says, you pray like this, but you should pray like that. He says that you give to the poor like this, but I want you to give like that. He says that you hear these commandments, do not murder, but I want you to not even get angry. Notice on the surface, both people look very similar. They're both good people. If you don't kill people, you're a good person. Hey? If you don't steal, you're a good person. But Jesus says, that's not all there is to this. There's more. The one way leads to life. The other way leads to destruction. On the surface, both groups of people follow the Ten Commandments. They give to the poor, they go to church, they study the Bible, and they pray. Both look great on the surface. The one displays religion, and the other relationship. And this concluding parable of building a house is all about relationship. Notice the words, I never knew you, depart from me. I never knew you. That goes down to relationship, not religion. The wise man built his house upon a rock. Remember the children's church song? Hey, who's going to try and sing it? A lot of heads nodding. The wise man built his house upon a rock. Remember that? Hey, the storms came and the wind blew. And the house stood firm. Remember the actions, hey? Firm, yeah. But what does it mean to build your house upon a rock? What does it mean to be able to stand firm on that rock? And so today we're going to have a look at what it takes to build a house. And maybe that'll help us unpack this parable a bit more. In the last couple of weeks, we've been able to watch Angus rebuild this house quite a bit. You know, did you notice something? We're not a holy church anymore. Hey? All the holes in the ceiling are gone, and there used to be this horrible light behind John and I. We always worried that it was going to fall out of the ceiling. It's gone, but now you can see the beautiful stained glass window. Hey? And there are no more holes in the wall with water peeling through. And thank you, Angus. What we've observed of Angus, and I think any really good builders, they get down to the core of the building. They've scraped down the walls to the absolute bare minimum where all the gunk is gone. And then this happens. Stunning work. But even if you didn't observe Angus for the last couple of weeks and you know nothing about building, Luke chapter 6 will give you all the information that you need to one day build your own house. It says you need to dig down deep. Especially in Durban, you've got to go really deep with this Berea red sand and not just build your house on the grass. Because when the storms that come lately, and they do come, your house is definitely going to go land up down at Virginia Beach. You've got to build your house on a solid foundation. And this makes sense to most of us. Where we understand that if we don't have a solid platform to lay our bricks on, that make up the walls eventually and eventually put the roof on top of that, when the storms come at full force, and there's nothing to hold the walls together, it's going to topple over. Or worst case scenario, the wind gets up underneath and you're all of a sudden reading your newspaper in an open air lounge. Or let's say you've got really heavy bricks. You've secured that roof and you've tied it down like with a tent peg and all sorts of things. People drive past your house and go, oh, that's a new technique. But there's no foundation. When the Durban storms come that we lately have and you see the soil around your tented house washed away, and you've all of a sudden noticed that a dungeon is being very naturally created, and your games room or your lounge is moving down into the deep, dark secrets of this world. And that games room, all of a sudden, the SimCity game comes through that screen, and it's real life. It's a crisis of great proportions. Your mainframe has crumbled. Your house has crashed, and there's no reboot button for those who are technologically inclined. Foundation is everything. We know this. It's not rocket science. But now let's think of our lives for a brief moment. When you and I were created, we entered this world with no foundation at all. Anyone that sees a little child learning to walk for the first time would fully agree that house keeps falling over, you know, and you're like, come on, buddy, just foundation, you know, strengthen that core and walk. But as they grow and they get a little stronger, eventually that foundation is there and they can take their first step. And slowly we witness throughout their lives one little milestone building block after the other. But if their lives aren't built on a solid foundation, when the storms of life come, and you and I sitting in this room today know that they do come. John 16:33, Jesus warns us, in this world you will have trouble. We can testify to that in our own lives. We don't need anybody else to tell us. We've all had trouble. But from a young age, if we don't have a solid foundation, when these storms come, they do often bash us to pieces, knock our walls, and we feel like our world is just crashing in on itself. We often relate to Job, where we find ourselves sitting on a heap of ashes, asking ourselves the question, what on earth is going on? How did we get here? My whole world is a mess. And whether you and I will ever cope with the storms that we're going to face all comes down to the foundation upon which we build our lives. Foundation is everything. And we're going to pause there for a moment and just quickly evaluate our own lives, what we've built in our own lives up to this point, what kind of walls we've got and the roof. And then we're going to end off with the foundation. Matthew 5, verse 13 to 14. One of the really good building blocks that you and I need to have in our lives is a person of influence. You need to be a light in the darkness, salt of the earth. You need to be that kind of person. When you walk into the room, everybody's like, life's going to be okay. I can see hope again. Really good block to have in your life. Matthew 5, 17. I'm quoting all the stuff out of the Sermon on the Mount. A person of righteousness, where you are a perfect law-abiding citizen. You've never had a speeding ticket in your life. I think most of us would agree that we need to work on that block. Just a little. Just a little. We haven't taken a cookie out of the cookie jar with no permission. A true person of righteousness. How about Matthew 5, 21 to 26, a gentle giant. Most of us would agree, and if you know this person, you would definitely agree, is Big John was definitely a gentle giant. Working with him for many years, hey John, nothing could ever upset his apple cart. He was like the steady ship. Like, doesn't matter what happened, he was gentle, calm, patient, and he would guide the ship. He was so gentle and patient and kind, even with us. Jan, just take it easy, bro. Let that patient brick bake a little more. And for those who know me very well, it's the last fruit that Jesus gave me, I think. Hey, because it has to happen now, you know? My Facebook banner, change is urgent because the gospel is urgent. You know, that's just how I'm wired. And Big John's like, hey, Jan, you know? And I look up to that and I long for that brick to turn up the heat of that oven. I want it quicker, you know, but that's not how patience comes. Hopefully one day I'll get it. But if we read through the rest of the Sermon of the Mount and the rest of Scripture, there are many godly building blocks that we can build into our lives with the guidance of the Holy Spirit and others. But friends, we can have the most glorious walls and roof tiles and structure, but it's all useless if our foundation is wrong. It's all useless if we've built our foundation on the wrong block. The rock or the sand, because the acetone does come. And it comes in bucket loads. Hey? It does. And if it's not built on the rock, nothing. You're going to have nothing left. Foundation is everything. Build your life upon a relationship with Christ. That is the foundation we should build our lives upon. When we read through the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus constantly says, this is how you currently live. Yes, your house looks fantastic. You look like the most religious person on earth. You're doing so well. But that's not going to help. Those walls of righteousness and justice and goodness are not going to help you, especially on the day of judgment. Jesus just hits us right in the gut with verse 21. Yes, the storms are going to come. They're going to knock your house down. You're going to struggle a bit in this world. But friends, if our foundation is not built on the relationship of Christ, when we stand before the Lord one day, we're going to stand here and the accuser is going to stand very close to us. And he's going to go, hey God, check out this Jan Oak. He was the most impatient pastor on earth. Surely, you should dropkick him. Like, he doesn't belong here. And he just carries on with all the... He plays golf. No, definitely. Like, take him out. And friends, if I had to rely purely on my characteristics and what I can build into my life, I'm going to stand there and I am going to get dropkicked. Because Jesus is going to stand on the other side. He's going, yeah, okay. Yeah, the circuit played golf. Yeah, as the text said, you know, we preached the gospel, we healed the sick, we fed the poor, we did all these good things. We go, hey, Jesus, do you remember when we walked on the beach with no shoes and we kind of raised awareness? Yeah, I remember that. But I never knew you. You did all that stuff. You had this wonderful spiritual home, but it wasn't built on a relationship with me. Positive side of it is the accuser can stand there and he can, with bigger speakers than this, announce all of our sins to the entire world. But if we built our entire life on a relationship with Christ, Jesus will stand there and go, this oak, he just got in. But accuser, I've died for all of his sins. All of it was nailed to the cross of Jesus Christ. And I know this guy. He loves me. And yes, he makes a lot of mistakes. But I died for those. So you go away and let's go play some golf. Hey, come on. Storms in this life will come. And we can build nice things into our lives to help us get through these storms. But the most important storm that you and I need to be ready for is the storm of Judgment Day. Because we are going to get bombarded by the accuser with accusations of all of our sins. And the only way we're going to get through that eternal storm is with a relationship with Jesus Christ. And that is the most important thing that you and I need to get today. We need to choose life with Jesus Christ, not life with religion. That'll get us through the eternal storm. But as Jesus also reveals in this text today, that if we build our lives on Him and a relationship with Him, when those storms come, you'll have a better builder than Angus being able to repair your cracked walls and restore your roof tiles. Because He's next to you. Out of relationship, He goes, okay, I'll hold up this wall. Go fetch the, what do you call that scraper thing? The scraper thing. Go fetch the scraper thing. Let's quickly just patch this hole. Scrape it clean and put some polyfiller here. Or this other thing that I'm not allowed to mention because I'll give away Angus's like secret. Let's patch up these holes out of relationship with Christ. You've got the author of life holding up your life in the biggest storms. And so as we conclude today, two really important things we need to remember. The solid rock in the story is our relationship with Jesus Christ. That relationship does two things for us. It secures us eternally, but also helps us to endure the storms of our maternity. Repeat that again. Our relationship with God secures our eternity, but also helps us through the storms of our maternity. Today you have a choice. What are you going to build your life upon? Is it going to be on rules and regulations? But can I pray? I go to Bible studies and I give to the poor and I do good stuff. Even heal the sick. Not going to help. Might help you get through some of the life storms a bit, but it's not going to help you get through the eternal storm. If you build your life upon Christ, it will secure your eternity and help you with your maternity. The house built upon the rock will withstand everything from this day until kingdom come. Today the choice is yours. I urge you, choose life. Let's pray.